Good morning. Well, I'm going to do a little bit the same thing I did on Mother's Day. I need some volunteers. You want to run the mic this time? Yeah. We gave the women a couple weeks ago the opportunity to share what made them fulfilled as a mother and where did their help come from. So I'm going to do the same thing for the men. Only thing is, I made a mistake last time. I said 55 or older, and there was some that said, I don't want to admit that I'm old that old. So I'm sorry that I did that, and I won't do it this time. So if you're a man and you want to share what made you feel fulfilled as a father, and where did your help come from, and willing to share today, this young man will come and give you a microphone so we can all hear what you said. Any volunteers?
Hi, I'm Al. What makes me fulfilled as a father is seeing my kids living out their faith in Christ, and my help, of course, comes through the Holy Spirit because of Christ, and also my wife, Bridget.
Anybody else? Now, there were several ladies that were willing to talk a couple weeks ago. Nobody. Ah, there we go. There is a difference, evidently, huh? Okay. Well, I'm not going to twist anybody's arm, so if that's all that wants... Oh, there's another young man over there that'd like to share.
Thank you. It's always fulfilling to me when I hear other people tell me about how much they appreciate the good behavior of my children, and sometimes it's better in other places than at home. So, where does my help come from? I could not survive without Jesus. I could not, and I could not survive and could not do this without my wife.
Anybody else? Oh, there is somebody back there.
I think the biggest blessing in my life is to see, as a father, is to see my children and my grandchildren follow in the example of my father, who is a godly Christian man, and follow Christ and desire to live a life for Christ. That's a big blessing to a father, to me, and a wonderful wife who has supported me through. She's a stepmother, so that's almost harder than being a mother, being a stepmother. But I've been blessed in those ways, and could not have ever done it without the Lord in my life. So also thankful to God for what He's done.
Don't want to leave anybody out. Anybody else? Well, thank you. Well, today, as you know, according to the calendar, is the day we honor our fathers. I don't think we should just do it one day a year, but evidently that's maybe all the world can handle. I don't know. I think we can thank God, our Heavenly Father, for our earthly fathers as believers. You know, we gain education about many things today, but very little on how to be a father. So I don't have all the answers. And I know I haven't, especially in preparing for this sermon, there's a lot of things I should have done and could have done differently. I'd like to look at some verses today in Ephesians. I want to read some verses in chapter 5 and verse 6, or chapter 6, but we'll start with chapter 5, and we'll read 23 through 33, and then Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also the church is Christ's head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you today that you will speak to our hearts, exercise our hearts, and help us to have our ears and eyes open to hear and see what you have for us. We pray that you would speak to us today, encourage our hearts and strengthen us, and thank you for the many fathers that are here today. They will be encouraged to go on for you. Lord, thank you for dying for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, in a feeble way, I'd like to bring before, help us to see what God has to say about fathers. Not what I think or what this world thinks, but what God says. Some of it may not be considered politically correct. Especially in our day and age, we seem like we've become so smart that there are certain things that we probably think we don't need anymore of God's word. But thank God that God's word is living and live, and it never changes, and it'll never get tired, and it'll never wear out. He still gives us guidance and directions how we should live. We see in these verses that the father is the head of the home, the family unit. Some of the things a father is to do, or husband, is to love his wife, nourish and cherish her. We see that a father is to nourish and bring his children up in the admonition of the Lord. The word nourishment can have two meanings, but it means to feed or sustain with the substance necessary for life and growth. Well, certainly our children need food to grow, to eat. But more importantly, they need spiritual food to grow and become what God intended that soul to become. And so they need to be fed and nourished from God's word and God's ways. The most important thing for a child to learn is to be taught God's ways and know what God has to say about different things. The word admonish is quite a word too. It means to warn, caution, or reprove mildly. We need to give warning as to what happens to our children when they choose a way outside of God's ways. One thing about God is he's very clear in his word about what choices we should make. And some may look at it as, it's a law and God just doesn't want us to have any fun in this world. You know, at times in my life I've thought that, but you know, I realized as I've gotten older, it's been God had certain things laid out in his word so that I wouldn't suffer consequences that I couldn't bear. And had I made the choices that I should have made, I wouldn't have suffered some of the things I've suffered in my life. We have a God that loves us and cares about us, and he can see our life from the beginning to the end. So he knows exactly what it's going to be, and if we let him plan our way and let him be Lord of our life, he has only blessing and good things for us. The same with our children. As your parents raising children, you only want the best for your children. And sometimes children don't understand. You have to say no. They sometimes don't understand. Maybe they have to sit in the corner or some other means. But that's the way God is too. He's only going to let you go down a road so far. And there's going to come a time when that traveling down that road is going to stop. And sometimes it's something serious that happens when we don't listen. And sometimes we still don't listen. But that's the amazing thing about God and his relationship with us when we come to know him, is he wants only the best for us. And we need to get a hold of that and realize that, the same as you desire for your children. We're told in Matthew 6:33, and we sung about this today, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. Our children need to be taught to seek God's things first. And putting God first in their life. They will need that more than they'll need anything else in this world has to offer. As we said before, God guides and directs, and if he's in charge of their life, God's not going to encourage them to go down a road they shouldn't go down. Satan will, but God won't. He wants only the best. And our children, if they learn younger, they can get a hold of that and learn what that means to seek the kingdom of God first. Maybe the things of this world won't be so tempting. Maybe they won't be so pretty as Satan pretends and paints them to be. I'd like to read some verses in Proverbs before we get completely to our verses in Ephesians. There's a lot of stuff in Proverbs about parenting and fatherhood and children. I'd like to read in Proverbs chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 22 through 26. It says, listen to your father who begat you, and do not despise your mother when she was old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of righteousness will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. We find here that as children, we're to listen to our father and mother. We're told to buy the truth and sell it not. We may not understand everything that our parents are trying to teach us and show us at the time, but we need to have the faith and the trust that they want to do the best they can for us. It's the way it is when we come to Christ. We have to have faith and trust that he wants the best for us, and he's going to do the best for us when we put him first in our life. In Proverbs 22, we read, and this was mentioned today earlier too. In 22, chapter 6, or verse 6, it says, train up a child in the ways that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is it we are training our children for? Is it so they will grow up to put the Lord first in their life so they can live their life to the fullest? Or are we showing and condoning ways of the world? Just something to think about. In Proverbs 3, we find something else. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. I ask again, are we teaching through example that we fully trust the Lord for everything in the direction in our life? Or are we showing that the cares of this world and successes of this world are more important? Proverbs is full of many helpful ways and encouragement as to what we can do as a father, the head of our household, and what God's plan for our family. You see, in God's plan, you have a father and a mother. The father is over the family unit. You see that because he is responsible, he is the responsible one before God to protect, nourish, and admonish the family. In our society, we see that the father's role is really belittled. I think there was a show on once that was on TV. It was called Married with Children. And I saw that show a few times, and it about made me sick. If I would have seen my mother treat my father that way, I don't know, I wouldn't have been very happy about that. But that's not God's plan. But the world always wants to take something that God designed beautiful and make it look like it's stupid. And that's because if Satan can get to the husband, the father, the head of that household, and get his foothold in, he can destroy the family unit. And we're seeing the results of that over so many years of families allowing Satan to have control in their home and not God. You see, the enemy of our soul always wants to destroy a beautiful plan that God laid out. Satan also wants to deceive us that there's a better way. You know, we can see today how the design of the family has changed. Now it can be a man and a man, a woman and a woman. They can make up a so-called family. But this is not God's design. No matter how you try to make excuses for it, it'll never work with God. It was not his design. It is a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, and then children. Marriage is designed by God. His design is always the best, and there's no other way acceptable to God, period. Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family has found in studies that children will look up at God the Father as they see their earthly father. If that relationship is not good with their earthly father, they seem to have a problem with God the Father. The more you read about this and find how responsible we are as fathers, it's a scary thing. We have a real responsibility before God. And there's a reason for that. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. We read these verses, but we see that God's design of the family is the same design he has for the church. Christ is the head of the church, not us. This church is not mine. I meet here, but it's not mine. If we don't understand the following of his teacher on God's teaching on the family unit, I would ask, how can we understand what church is all about? The church in verse 27 is to be a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle, should be holy and without blemish, as the King James Version says. God's design of the family should help us understand how the church should function. Love, caring for one another, encouraging one another, showing respect should be important, and maybe a need for correction at times. We see in verse 31 that a man leaves a father and mother and is joined to his wife. The King James Version uses the word cleave. And cleave means to adhere, cling, and to be faithful. The church should do the same to Christ as being the head of the church. The church should cling and be faithful to the truth in following Christ, what Christ wants, and how he wants the church to function. Just as a good marriage, God needs to be in the center. But for a good church, Christ has to be in the center. He has to be the head. We see the results of many churches today that have left Christ out of being the head. And man has done what he's wanted to do. And what happens? The word gets watered down. Why? Well, we don't want to offend anybody. Sin is no longer called sin. You can do what you want. After all, God has all kinds of mercy to give us. It's not the church I see in the New Testament and what God had planned in the book of Acts for the church. The church should be a beacon of light to the world. The world should never influence the church. In all of Paul's writing to the different churches, he encouraged the church to follow God's way. He never taught the church to submit to pagan ways of the world to bring the lost in. Paul wasn't worried about being politically correct. Sometimes he had to call out sin that was in the church. In order for the church to grow spiritually, Christ must be the head. We must seek truth. And Christ's plan for the church, just as it is for the father in the home, to seek guidance from God, to be the father, to be the head of his household that God has put him in charge of. God's word must be the plumb line if we want our families to be blessed and the church to grow and be blessed. In closing, I would encourage fathers to seek God's direction. Search the scriptures for wisdom in being the head of your home. God put it on my heart when my children were young, and many nights I would stand outside their room during the night while they were asleep and pray for each one of them that down the road God would bring a believer into their life to be their helpmate, and that they would not turn away from God when they got older. Are we really concerned about our children's lives, or are we going to leave it up to the world to raise our children? Are we going to teach them what's important, God's ways or the world's ways? There's only one way that's going to matter in the end, and that's going to be God's way. The world's way isn't going to matter one bit. God doesn't care about how the world thinks it ought to be. He's only concerned about what he thinks and the way he's planned things in this family. Because the family is such a picture of the church. And if we don't understand the family, we're going to have a hard time understanding what church is really all about. Christ needs to be the head of the church. We need to give Jesus the rightful place. This is his church. And in order for us to reach the world around the church, we need to remember that the church should be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It should be holy without blemish. We see today how important the family is, and that it functions according to God's plan, And when it does, it gives us a picture of how the church family should function.